From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Bloch.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Every year, hundreds of thousands of children in the U.S. are victims of abuse and neglect, and more than 1,000 of them die. The troubled economy has made matters worse. States facing big deficits are now cutting programs to protect children. California alone eliminated almost 400 child protection workers. Arizona stopped investigating less serious abuse reports. Indiana and Ohio have cut programs to prevent abuse. And Oklahoma will soon have 100 fewer child welfare workers. NPR's Pam Fessler has the first of a two-part series.
3-year-old Eli Johnson was apparently beaten to death for doing what lots of little boys do. He wet his pants. Now his mother and her boyfriend are in jail. Oklahoma City police say the boyfriend told them he slapped Eli and punched him in the stomach with his fist, that he got so angry he blacked out and came to when he had Eli's head stuck in the water of the toilet.
He was such a sweet little boy, I just can't imagine anybody doing such a thing.
Eli's great-grandmother, Evelyn Johnson, holds a funeral card that shows the picture of a smiling child, his blonde hair swept up into tiny wisps. There's a poem on the card called Please Don't Cry. Evelyn Johnson says she suspected that Eli had been abused and reported it to authorities almost a year before he died last September.
The signs really started about the time they decided they wanted to potty train him.
The result of her report? Eli's mother had to take an anger management class. She and her boyfriend are now awaiting trial for first-degree murder. They've both pled not guilty. It's a tragic case, but to be honest, not that unusual. A couple of days earlier, a 20-year-old Oklahoma City woman was charged with murdering her 3-month-old, who had a fractured skull. A few weeks later, a mother and her friend were arrested for locking her son in a closet for more than 4 years. And it's not just here. Around the country, at least 1,700 children died from abuse and neglect in 2007. Some people think the numbers are on the rise with the bad economy, although no one really knows. What Micah Sterling does know as she walks the halls of the Oklahoma State Capitol, not far from where Eli Johnson died, is that programs to prevent child abuse are on the chopping block.
What we're hearing is that it's unlikely anyone will be preserved at 100%, so we need to prepare for cuts.
That's because her state faces a $1.3 billion deficit. Sterling runs the nonprofit group Prevent Child Abuse Oklahoma, which gets state money to help poor and at-risk families with the challenges of parenting. It was already cut last year, and they no longer provide clients with much-needed items such as diapers, cribs, and car seats.
Hi, Charlie.
So Sterling's at the Capitol today with a colleague, Charlie Swinton, a member of her board. They hope to convince lawmakers that cutting too much now could cost the state more in the long run. More child deaths, more injuries, and more incarcerations as abused children grow into troubled adults. It's a tough sell. They head to the office of Republican Doug Cox.
Representative Charlie Swinton.
Yes, sir.
Bank First. Good to see you,
good
sir.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. I want to introduce you to Micah Sterling.
Hi.
Micah.
Cox is important because he chairs the committee that oversees their funding. Swinton tells Cox he knows some cuts are inevitable, but asks him to please be kind.
Micah and her staff work every day with families to raise children and keep children safe, so we ask your continued support of that effort.
Well, I appreciate that. You probably will not find a stronger advocate for your cause than myself, because you probably know I'm an emergency room physician.
And Cox knows all too well how serious child abuse can be. But, and it's a big one.
That being said, my other job is a state representative. As you well know, we have to balance our budget, and we're down $1.3 billion from last year.
And Cox says he's also being asked to protect funds for senior citizens, children with disabilities, and on and on. He says he'll do his best. It's a conversation that could be heard in state capitals around the country as lawmakers struggle with big deficits. After a day of meetings, Micah Sterling has lots of sympathy, but no promises, and she's worried.
I think that we're going to find we had a much higher death rate from child abuse last year than we have in the past. I think that's a direct result of a lack of resources.
Actually, the prevalence of child abuse and neglect, in our state at least, is dropping.
Howard Hendrick, Oklahoma's Director of Human Services, has a different view. He says caseloads are actually down, despite the economy. He thinks one reason is that federal stimulus funding has eased the strain on families, with things such as more food stamps and jobless benefits. He says state efforts to keep more children with family members and to speed adoptions from foster care have also helped.
overall, we feel very confident in terms of the work that's happening in the child welfare arena.
But that confidence is not shared by all. Some here think caseloads are down because there are fewer workers to investigate abuse. Hendricks Agency is the target of a lawsuit by a national advocacy group, which says that Oklahoma's welfare workers are overworked and the state's failed to adequately protect children in its care. And then there are the deaths, like Eli Johnson's. Hendricks says he can't comment on specifics, but that overall such cases are rare, and his workers do the best they can.
I don't know of any child welfare worker in America who's clairvoyant and can predict the future. Every child death is a heartbreaking experience.
An experience that Kristen King wants to make less common.
How are you?
Tired.
She's a nurse with the state's Children First program in Tulsa. She's come to see 20-year-old Brittany Ellis, a single, first-time mother who shares a small house with her mother, brother, and toddler son, Elijah. King visits twice a month, as much to check up on Elijah as to provide support for his mom.
Are you ready to smile and play?
He's starting to throw fits.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a developmental thing.
The goal here is to ease the concerns of young, often low-income parents, to let them know it's normal to get frustrated sometimes. The key is to learn how to respond. King gives Ellis a handout on toilet training and some advice.
Never make a big deal about it, because remember the two things that you will not win a battle over. Going to the bathroom and what's the other one? Quiz. Eating.
Eating.
It's advice advocates say could come in handy in lots of households, maybe even those like the one in which Eli Johnson died. After an hour with Elijah and his mom, King has to go. She has other clients to see.
Bye, Brittany.
Bye.
Researchers say these home visits, found in many states, go a long way toward reducing abuse and neglect, but that hasn't protected them from cuts. Oklahoma's Children First program used to have 270 nurses. Now there are fewer than half. Pam Fessler, NPR News.
Tomorrow on Morning Edition, Pam reports on two Oklahoma programs designed to prevent abuse and protect the abused.
This is NPR.